Okay, we are beginning of chapter 20. On the top numbers, it's Kuf Chaf Tes, which would be page 257 on top numbers. I'm stopping giving the bottom numbers because of the new edition of the Tanya has different page numbers. So it doesn't help. So, but the top numbers are always the same. Chapter 20. Dan, you ever lived to chapter 20 before?
I read.
Besides Chitas?
No.
Okay. Chapter 20 is called the litmus test of Chassidus. Chassidim, during the times of the Alter Rebbe, when this letter came out, is a general letter. It is not an appeal letter. It's a letter of general information, which the Alter Rebbe sent out. I don't know anything of the provenance of it, like why he sent it out, to whom he sent it out. That stuff is never, that was never like part of this whole deal. And Chassidim would learn it on a regular basis to see how sensitive they were in their understanding of Chassidus. The concepts are very edel, to say the least. And to be able to stay with it from the beginning of the letter to the end of the letter, which will take several times. I'm thinking one, two. Last time I taught it, it took me like, I learned it with somebody every day for like 3 weeks. 3, 4, 5, 6. We're up to 7. 6 or 7 hours it's going to take to get through this. And the interesting thing that always amazes me is after this long letter, which is it's 8 pages long, at the end it says this is all we have existent in print, meaning that there's stuff that they lost. So it's a very long letter. The subject of it is the how does Atzilus work? So you can understand that being that this is such an ethereal concept, such an ethereal topic, that discussing it requires a sensitivity to the subject matter. Like, what do we know from Atzilus? So being that we really never know anything about Atzilus, so understanding this, you can say that, you know, this year I understood it a little bit better than last year. Last year I understood it a little bit better than this year. You can look at it that way. So it starts with a statement from the Zohar. Ihu v'chayehu chad, ihu v'garmehu chad b'hoin. Pirush esusri is etzilus, chayehu heina oris, v'garmehu heina kelim, shekulam elakus masha enkin b'biya. It says in the Zohar that he, meaning Hashem, with a capital H, and his life is one, and he and his effects is one with them. That's what it says in the Zohar. And what does it mean? So that means that in Atzilus, Hashem is totally and completely united with the Or, and Hashem is totally and completely united with the Kalim. Okay, now, I do not, if you've been learning me for how long, or listening online for however long you got to this point, I don't like translating Oris and Kalim as lights and vessels. Because as soon as you do that, what you then begin to imagine is pots full of water. And the Atzilus is not pots full of water. Even though the Tzemach Tzedek gives an example in Derech Mitzvei Secha, Maimar Rabbanus Elikus, of the Or going into different Kalim. Like if you were to take a clear water and put it into a blue glass, well then the water would look blue. And then if you took that blue glass and you stuck it into a yellow glass, so now the water would look green. Okay, and in the meantime, the only real comparison between that example and what we're talking about, Oris and Kalim, is that what's inside the Kali maintains its integrity. It doesn't change. What changes is how you're looking at it, how you're perceiving it. That's what the Kali does. According to Gemara terminology, Nigla, the word Kali does not mean vessel. The word keli means something that has a use. You have in Seder Taharis, one of the larger Masechtas and Mishnayos, is Masechta Kelim. And there they talk about all the different kelim. It says a keli is mekabel tuma. A keli is susceptible to ritual impurity, would have to go to mikvah, be destroyed, or have to be koshered, something like that. Whereas, say, a rock or dirt or a tree stump is not mekabel tuma. And even if a person were to put a dead body on a rock, the rock would never need to go to the mikvah. Because a rock is not a keli. Okay, people don't use rocks. Okay, and the difference between the difference to say like a log is not mekabel tuma, but a board is. So because a board is made to have a use. You have a use for boards. Logs, no, not.
Log house?
Log cabins, okay, good. So even still, you can make a house out of bricks too. And your house is not going to be mekabel tuma. Out of stones. There's a difference there. A brick is mekabel tuma. Stone is not. Because a brick is made. Okay, so given this example and remembering this, that the word keli means something that has a use. So the or doesn't mean light, like when we're thinking we're going to flip on a light. Okay, you're thinking oris and kalim, you're thinking of this illuminated glass. So get that out of your mind immediately. Because I had a teacher, Yeshiva, who would say any way that you imagine what Chassidus is talking about is probably idolatry. That's what he said. Anyway, you're picturing this, because this isn't picturable stuff. Or doesn't mean light, keli doesn't mean a pot. In Atzilus, there's no pots, there's no lights, there's no switches to turn the light off. There's no pot for the light to go into. Atzilus is translated as emanated, but what does emanate mean? The word Atzilus is also the word for Etzel, next to. It's next to the infiniteness of Hashem. Okay, so the topic statement is that Hashem is one and united with the Ur, with the life that comes into Atzilus, and he's also one with the Keli, that which is, makes the Ur user friendly in Atzilus as well. He's one with that as well. Now, the idea of Oris and Kelim, which comes from the Zohar, this whole concept of Sphiros is all from the Zohar. And there is a famous mimer from the Tzemach Tzedek, which is called, brain has to kick in, Lahavinin and Gimel Shitas, to understand the three opinions on the definition of a Keli. Did you ever learn it? Lahavinin and Gimel Shitas? He talks there about the Rekanti and the Merechas and Moshe Cordovero. The Rekanti is the opinion that, I forget if I remember these things, either I remember it right or remember it backwards, but I'm not going to go look at it now. The Rekanti, who was an Italian Kabbalist of the 1300s, said that when it talks about the spheres of Atzilus, you're talking about the Ur. You have this Chachma, which is, flavored to be, it's Mitzamsim, the Ur is Mitzamsim, the Simpson occurs in the Ur, so that the Ur is an Ur of Chachma. But the Keli is the same. The Keli is basically just there so that you have Chachma. And Bina, you have the same Keli basically, but now you have the Or Bina. It was the Or that's contracted. The Mereches says, no, the sphere is the Keli. It's determined by the Keli. The Or is a Dover Poshid. The Or is a simple entity. It's all the same. Like it's almost said, it gives the example of water. It's all clear. No matter what kind of glass you put in, it's still clear. So Merecha says that it's the real thing that determines what a sphere is the Keli. This is a Kli HaChachma, a Kli HaBina, etc. Comes Moshe Cordovero, that the whole job of, the whole purpose of Moshe Cordovero writing Pardes, which is his magnum opus, was to synthesize all the previous schools of Kabbalah into one philosophy. And he says that what are spheroids? Spheroids are oris mislabish bekelim. You don't have a sphere until you have them both together. That's the definition of a sphere. And that's basically what the Sefer Pardes does throughout his Sefer, is taking these various opinions and synthesizing them into one. So you have one cohesive element. Okay? You have I recently told you the story about a person who came to, I heard this story in the name, he came to the Mittler Rebbe, came to the Kotzke Rebbe, came to one of the Sadegar Ravs, and he wasn't had a clean beard and a short jacket, and he insisted on seeing the Rebbe right away. And the secretary didn't want him to, well, who are you? Did you demand to see the Rebbe right now? But he wouldn't leave. So the secretary said, if you don't get out, I'm going to pick you up and I'll throw you out. He said, I'm not leaving until I see the Rebbe. So the secretary picked him up by the seat of his pants and began throwing him out. This guy put up a fuss, and the Rebbe came out of the office. It's like, the Rebbe came out. It's like, sorry we disturbed you. It's like, you know. So he turns to the secretary, and says, what's the problem? He says, this man insists on seeing you. So the Rebbe turns to the guy with the no beard and says, how can I help you? So he says, Rebbe, I need your advice on a shidduch. I'm offered two shidduchim. One of them is a girl who's comes from a long line, a beautiful family, a miyachasdike family. But she herself is very plain. The other one is a very beautiful girl, but her family is relatively unknown. Which shidduch should I take? So the Rebbe said, go for the good-looking one. Okay. He said, thank you very much. He left. Okay, so now the Hasidim are standing around. They're going, what? What just happened over here? So he said, the Rebbe said, this was one of the Lamed Vav Tzadikim. So Tzadikim is star. One of the 36 hidden Tzadikim. And what he was asking me is, he's now ready to start learning Kabbalah. Should he learn from the school of Moshe Cordovero, which Moshe Cordovero is, you could trace every line that Moshe Cordovero writes from some other Kabbalah book, because he synthesized it. And when you get all done, it's like, yeah, okay. Like I just told you, like one of the major breakthroughs in Pardes is this guy says it's Oris. This guy says it's Kalin. Comes along Moshe Cordovero and says it's Oris and Kalin. How exciting is that? It's like, well, duh. You know, since then.
He's now, the first girl.
Yeah, he's the first one. Girl. This is the other one is Luriana Kabbalah. It's from the Arizal. Right. The Arizal, he just kind of like showed up and said, here, this is what I was told by Eliyahu. And there's no reference to, there's concept there that nobody ever heard of before, but Rizal Kabbalah is very exciting to learn. All the difference in Sumim and the Madregas, and it's like, you know, so you have here, the Esser Spheres of Atzilus are the Oros and the Kelim, that it's all Elokus, meaning to say that, so how are we going to define it now? So the Or is the Koyach HaBligvul of Hashem. It's the infiniteness of Hashem. The Garmehu, the Keli, is the Koyach HaGvul, is the power of limitation of Hashem. And both of them are totally and completely united with Hashem. And you're going to ask, how's that possible? But you can kind of understand. Okay? Because you take a look at your own arm. Your arm, you can exert a lot of power. Okay, you can really push against something with all your might. Okay, and you're pushing and you're pushing and you're pushing. That's going. That's like the R. You're showing how much strength you have in your arm. Okay, but when you want to pick something up, what does your muscle have to do? It has to contract. You contract the muscle. The muscle gets smaller. That's the expression of Gvur. That's Kali already then. Okay, which part of that process of pushing and picking up is not you? They're both you, of course. So, you can understand then that the power of limitation that we're talking about is also Hashem. He's going to say now, okay, now, bottom line. Sarech lav and heiti, we have to understand. Eich ein sof chad im garmehu, heina kelim. How could you say that Hashem is one with the kelim, with the limitations? Hayah kelim goes gvula tachlis, k'moshe kosev be'etz chayim. The kelim, by definition, are what limit? What's the purpose of the kelim of Atzilus? There are kelim before Atzilus, but they don't function the same way. How many? It says that Yosef Be'ena Ruch Me Atzilus Le'or Ein Sof Me Asiya Gashmi Le'Chochma Vatzilus. It says there's less comparability between Chochma of Atzilus and Ein Sof and this physical world and Chochma of Atzilus. Should I say that again? Okay. In other words, we have a greater relationship with Chachma of Atzilus than Chachma of Atzilus has with Ein Sof. Why? Chachma of Atzilus is part of Olamos. This just happens to be a bigger Olam, you might say. And yes, it's true, we are not comparable. Our physical world is not comparable to Chachma of Atzilus, but there's even less comparability between Chachma of Atzilus and the infiniteness of Hashem. Because Chachma of Atzilus, however infinite it may be, is not really infinite. And as soon as you say not really infinite, means it's finite. And finite compared to infinity, there's no point of comparison. Whereas that big finite and this little finite, you can talk about them in the same sentence. Okay, so the question then is, I can understand if you're going to say that the Or maintains its integrity through the creation process. If you're of the opinion that the Or is a Dover Pashut, that the Chayas that comes in and enlivens everything, the Orem Amale, maintains its simple existence. It is simple as opposed to made up of parts. The opposite of simple is complex or divisible. In this instance, okay, so the chayas is not something that you could say, I'm going to take a piece of chayas and put it over here, I'll put a piece of chayas over here. However much is right here is a simple expression of chayas. So I can understand that being totally and completely united with Hashem, even though it's gone through the tzimtzumim and all of that, it's a davar pashut. It's simple. It's undefined. You can't draw a picture of Or. You can't describe it even. I'm having problems over here myself. Not that this should be a surprise to anybody. But the Kalim, the whole purpose of the Kalim is Gvul. This is Chachma of Atzilus. And this is Bina of Atzilus. And Chachma is Chachma. And Bina is Bina. Bina doesn't become Chachma. Chachma doesn't become Bina. They maintain their separate existences.
Through Kalim.
Because of the Kalim. The Kalim is what makes this Chachma, makes this Bina. So how can I say that the infiniteness of Hashem is totally and completely united in an ultimate unity with the Kalim? That's the question. Try and remember that 8 weeks from now when we finish this chapter. Amakavanihi Laimer Shehena Lakus. What does it mean to say? We're not going to focus on the limitation part. We're going to focus on the usability part. What is the most important factor of the Keli? How did we define at the onset? How do we define a Keli? Is its ability? It has a use. So what's the important part of the Keli? If you have a hammer. What's the important part of the hammer that sits in your toolbox? I have a hammer. I say, if I had a hammer, it doesn't say I'm going to keep it in my toolbox.
Okay.
Says I'm going to hammer. Okay. So then the result is what is it that we want? Is the result from that hammer? Okay. So it's the same thing with the Kalim of Atzilus also. That the important part of Atzilus is not Atzilus. The important part of Atzilus is getting to Bria. Hashem did not institute a creation process so that there should be an Atzilus. It was necessary for there to be the proper creation in the way that it's going to be, in the way that it ends up in this physical world, that there should be an Atzilus. There needs to be an Atzilus. But Atzilus is part of the process. It's not the result of the process. So what is the purpose of the Kalim of Atzilus? What are the purposes of the Kalim of Atzilus? Is in order to act as the next step in the chain reaction. And at this point, what is it? Specifically at Atzilus, the next step is Bria. Bria is the effect of Atzilus. Bria means creation. How do you get creations? You can only get creations from one thing. A creator. So Atzilus now, the Kalim of Atzilus, they're the creator of Bria. This is where you have to be careful. Because as soon as I say that Atzilus is a creator, so that's already like, the Friedrich Rebbe said, there's a very thin line between belief and idolatry. Okay, obviously, if a person were to pray to Chachma of Atzilus, since it is that Chachma of Atzilus is making sure that there's a Bria, etc., that the creation is coming down, and the focal point, or the century point, for the Chayas that comes into this creation is coming through Chachma of Atzilus, so that then becomes the creative aspect of Hashem. So if I say, Chachma of Atzilus, answer me, guess what? You can throw rocks at me. Okay, that is idolatry. You can't pray to Chachma of Atzilus. So, but the purpose of Atzilus is that there should be a Bria. That's what the purpose is. And that that ability to create a Bria is how the Kalim of Atzilus can be united with the infiniteness of Hashem. Because what happens with the infiniteness of Hashem? Eventually it winds up as our neshama. The neshama that we have, you say it every single morning in davening, neshama shenasata bi taherahi. Okay, the soul that you put in me is already a level. Then we go to atahirahi barata barasa tayusarta to nefachtabi. So that's easy to understand. It's understood that when it says Taharahi, it refers to Atzilus, Barasa refers to Bria, Yitzarta refers to Yitzira, Nefachtabi refers to Asiya. These are all different to the stages of the process of the neshama. But you're starting with a neshama before Taharahi. Okay, the neshama that you put into me, so I have this neshama, Taharahi, it had to go through Atzilus. If it had to go through Atzilus, what was it before it was in Atzilus? It was higher than Atzilus.
It's from Hashem.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the or from Hashem.
Yeah, okay, it's included and incorporated in Hashem. And the various different stages in which it comes through make it such that it can come into my body and I get to move my finger, for example. But the neshama maintains its simplicity. But it's now in a mode of usability. So the orais in Atzilus, as they are mislabish in the kalim, are usable. I'll give you a simple example. What's before Atzilus is keser. Okay, which is will and desire. If a person has a desire, and that's all it is a desire, and it hasn't yet come into the person's intellect, that the person knows what it is that they want, so what is this person right now? Confused. They want something, but the desire hasn't been manifest yet intellectually. So he doesn't know what it is that he wants. But he knows he wants something. Crude example, you open up the refrigerator 11 o'clock at night, you take a look and you say, I want something, but I don't know what I want. Okay? And you're looking over there, and like my mother used to say at that point, just go have a drink of water, because you're really thirsty. But you want something, you don't know what it is that you want. So right now, you're in a state of confusion. Mm-hmm. Which, how do you say confused in Hebrew? Tohu. The world was tohu, confused and mixed up. Okay? That's the creation before you got Oris and Kalim. There's no Seder. That's tohu. Tohu means all messed up, mixed up. When it comes into Chachma Vitzilus, right at the onset of Chachma Vitzilus, now you're in Tikkun. Now everything's ordered. Now it's usable and it's user friendly. before the Or is clothes itself into Seder Istalshelus, which would be the Kalim of Atzilus, you can't do anything with it. Try and go and fulfill a desire that you don't know what it is. Impossible. Okay?
Yeah.
So.
Random.
Yeah. Shehena Lakuz Levar Yeshma. So the point of comparison between the Kalim and Hashem is the ability to create, to bring in something from nothing. K'may Ein Sof, just like the infiniteness of Hashem. V'loy b'chinas histalshus ilu v'alo b'levad. And not just through the cause and effect. This is, we talked about this a long time ago, and I think we mentioned it maybe once or twice since then. There are major fundamental differences between Pardes and Eitz Chaim. Pardes from Moshe Cordovero, Eitz Chaim from the Arizal. The Arizal, I think this is also in Gimel Shittas, if I'm not mistaken. I remember learning this in Seattle, which is where I learned Gimel Shittas, so maybe that's where it was. The Moshe Cordovero says there's something called Seder Istalshelus. How do we know something called Seder Istalshelus? In the Zohar, it says Seder Istalshelus. That's how we know. We know about the, we say in Pasuk Eliyahu, we say about the Ten Tikkunim, which are the Eser Sfirois. Right? So, you have all of those. We know about all that stuff from the Zohar. So Moshe Cordovero, remember, he's Mr. Synthesis. He's looking at all the books that are in existence that he can get his hands on, and he's trying to fit them all together like a jigsaw puzzle to make a big picture. So we have a given. There's a starting point in creation, the infiniteness of Hashem. Hashem decided, as all of them, Shavte Livara Sa'ilam. Hashem suddenly decided one day, I'm going to make a creation. That's step one. Then you have step, we could call it step A. Then you have step B. Step B is our physical world. Without going in, do we exist? Do we not exist? Is the world made out of godliness? We're not talking about that right now. Because I can see there's such a thing called three dimensions. So I know there's a starting point, and I know there's a final result. So Moshe Cordovero says, so how do you get from the infiniteness of Hashem to this world, this physical world? Ah, Seder Istalshelus, right in the Zohar. And what's Seder Istalshelus? It's a chain reaction. And so Moshe Cordovero says that the starting point, which is the Tzimtzum HaRishon, the first Tzimtzum, has got the whole thing started. There's an infinite number of Tzimtzumim, and the final result is our physical world. That's the way Moshe Cordovero explains it. Comes along the Arizal and says, you got a problem. It's not going to work. Because you want to tell me that there's an infinite number of Tzimtzumim. And that's how the world comes into existence in a limited way. What's the problem? So how big is Hashem? Hashem is infinite. So let's say the first Tzimtzum, so Hashem cuts himself in half, and only half of Hashem is revealed. The other half is hidden. So how much revelation do you have now?
Infinite.
You still have an infinite amount of revelation, because half of infinity is still infinity. And the Arizal writes, and if you mitzamtzem that or an infinite number of times, therefore, what are you going to be left with? Infinity.
But those are our kelim.
I don't have any kelim, thank you. I don't live in Atzilus.
They can't, these aren't kelim.
That's how Moshe Cordovero wanted to explain it. Okay? The Kalim are for us. Hashem doesn't need Kalim. The Tzimtzumim are not Tzimtzumim for Hashem. The Tzimtzumim are only Tzimtzumim for us. Yeah. That's how the Arizal explains. That's how the Moshe Cordovero explains it. But the Arizal says it doesn't work. Your Seder Histalshelus, your creation process, is not going to wind up with a limited entity, because you're going to keep on cutting infinity in half. And it's not going to work. So the Arizal proposed something called Tzimtzum HaRishon and Tzimtzum HaGadol. The Alter Rebbe talks about it in great length in Shar Yichud V'Amunah, Ayin Sham, that what happened was, with the first step of creation, is Hashem withdrew his infinite revelation, revealing his finite revelation. If you recall, this is what the chapter, this is what we're doing in Tanya Chitas now. Chapter 7 of Shar Yechud Vamona. And there he talks about this idea of Hashem removing his revelation. And at the end of the chapter, the Alter Rebbe ranks out the Vilna Gaon without mentioning names. That Hashem should forgive him, he's a great scholar, he's a Yerush Shemayim, and he didn't have a teacher, and he's learning Kabbalah without a teacher, and he needs to have a teacher to learn Kabbalah, because he translated the word siluk incorrectly. Siluk, he translated it as removed. That Hashem removed himself in order to make a creation, meaning that Hashem's not involved with the creation, Hashem's not here. And as a result of that mistranslation, so for 200 years, his followers were believing in something called Hashgacha Klalis. Hashem got the whole thing going and just kind of like moved off. And the author explains, no, it wasn't that Hashem moved, his revelation removed. He's still here in his essence. So the Arizal says that Hashem had to remove his infiniteness to reveal his finiteness. So between you and me, how big is Hashem's finiteness? It's infinite. But it's still finiteness. And since it's in the same paragraph with the word finite world and its finiteness, okay, it's infinite finiteness. But that's still fine. It's still finiteness. When you cut it in half, you get a smaller finiteness. And eventually, if you do that an infinite number of times, you come up with a table. That's why he says, the Alter Rebbe, Chassidus, Paskins like the Arizal in this matter. But now that he says that the Ramak does translate the whole idea of a cause and effect, meaning Hashem is the first cause and we're the final effect, is brought down in the Zohar and a couple places there too. That's only true once you start with Chachma Vitzilus. When you start with Chachma Vitzilus and you have to wind up in this world, so then you could say that there's a cause and effect. You could relate this world, you have to say that it has to be some kind of a madriga level that this world came from. It had to have come from someplace. And let's just say it came at the bottom of the creation process. And where'd the bottom of the creation process come from? The next level up. And where'd that come from? The next level up. And eventually you go up and up and up until finally, up is a bad direction because the sages thought it's not up. Mm-hmm. But it's just higher than us. And eventually you'll reach Chachma Vitzilus. The high of Yistalshus is fierce as your Zazman, Yochin is a Kalim. Shenikra is Kali. Oh, excuse me, Nikra is Blima, Besefi Yitzira. And the spheres of Atsilus are called without substance. You can't draw me a picture of Chachma Atsilus because it doesn't have any image.
It's a concept.
Well, it's a sphere, so it's a level of influence. Mm-hmm. Okay, but you couldn't draw me a picture of time either. You know, there's lots of ethereal things in this world. So the concept of the whole idea of a Seder Histalshus, what the Ramak really meant to say was not that there is a Seder Histalshus from the infiniteness of Hashem to this world. Because you'll never get there from here. You'll never get here from there. But rather, what he should have said is there's an infinite levels of contraction from Chachma Vitzilus to this world. Because Chachma Vitzilus is already in the creation process. So we can relate to that. Nikra Blima. So the Sefer Yetzirah, it says that the spheres of Yetzirah, Eser spheres, Blima, She'ein lehem sof, I'm missing a thing, there's Eser spheres, Blima, Ve'ein lehem sof, That's what it says, Lima.
Without anything, translated.
Huh?
It says without anything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's two more parts. And it says from Sefer Yetzirah. Esther of Ainlam Sof. There's 10 spheres. They're blima, which means they have no substance. The Ainlam Sof, and they have no limit. But there's 10 of them, which automatically tells me that this is Chesed is not Gevurah, which means that there's parameters. Now we're not going to call it a Sof. We're going to call it a parameter. Like, for example, a sphere of influence. Okay. How much you can talk is potentially infinite. Whether you decide to talk or not, infinitely enough is not, you don't know if you're going to do that or not. So your ability to do something is blima. It's without form, because it's just an ability. And it's potentially infinite, because you could do anything with this ability. So it's the same thing also with Hashem. That when you're talking about the spheres of Atzilus, there are 10 levels of influence. So you're thinking spheres as circles on a tree. I suggest you stop. Which again, we read, we said this last week, that the Rebbe was broad drafts for an illustrated Tanya. And the Rebbe said it should be burnt. Because these are concepts. If you're going to start drawing me trees with circles on them, and say that that's Atzilus, I got news for you. That's not Atzilus. Those are circles on trees. The spheros, we call them spheroids, and we imagine circles because the Greeks took the word sphera and they turned it into their words for which they called spheroids, that's the singular, which means a globe. And from there it went into the Latin, into the English, so that you have this idea of a sphere, the 10 spheres. So since you're talking about a sphere, so it must be round. But you have the expression in English, a sphere of influence.
Yeah, that's right.
Your sphere of influence isn't round. In fact, your sphere of influence has no shape whatsoever. So the spheres of Atzilus aren't round. They could say they're kind of like they have no beginning, no end, like a circle. Where's the starting point? Where's the end point? Okay, good. But you can do that with lots of things. Okay, so the spheres of Atzilus are nebulous. As far as if you wanted to draw a picture of them, you'd have to draw 10 nothings. Shenikras b'lima b'sefer shir she'ain v'chinas yesh u'mahus musak. Now the 10 spheres of Atzilus, you can't put your finger on them. You can't say, oh, this is what it is. We don't know. We were never given that information. We learned in the last chapter that Moshe didn't even know about this stuff. He was never shown this stuff. He only understood it as it's in Bria. Because it's not understandable. Experiencing Atzilus will turn a person's brain off, because they'll experience something that's beyond logic. They won't be able to cognify, if there's such a word, what it was that they experienced when they went to Atzilus. Not what we would call that in simple language, blowing their mind. Yeah, indeed. And just as it is that the infinite of Hashem, it says no thought can grasp him at all. As it says in my face, you shall not see. And the understanding that Moshe achieved through his prophecies, we learned in the last chapter, chapter 19, and his comprehension was from at the highest levels of Netzach of Atzilus, which is the bottom. Moshe, unlike us, that we understand the bottom of the bottom, Moshe was able to understand, hopefully, the top of the bottom. That's what Moshe was able to understand. And when you're talking about Yistalshelus, so the effect is encompassed by the cause, and it's nullified in its existence compared to it, like the sun ray and the sun. I'm not going to talk about sun ray and sun, but right now we did that before. But if you have the dominoes, the dominoes are all lined up, and you push one, and the domino next to it falls down, which causes the domino next to it fall down, etc., 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 until there's no more dominoes. Okay, so you can say, you can look forensically at the, before you push the first one, you could look at this whole structure of how you have these things set up, and you can say that in potential, the last domino is going to get knocked down by looking at the setup. Once the thing, you walk out, you come back, all the dominoes are down. So you can now look and you could say, oh, this last domino is down because the first domino got pushed. There is this cause and effect relationship between even the first cause and the last effect, which is trackable. That's called Seder Histalshelus. Okay, so now what we're going to say is the relationship, you have the dominoes set up, they're ready to go. So the relationship between the potential of the first domino to knock over the second domino is merely b'derech makif. Makif doesn't mean it surrounds it. This domino number one is not surrounding domino number two. Makif in this instant means that the energy that it contains is not mislabish in it. That's what makif is. You can say, but indirectly, you can understand what makif is by simply saying it's not pnimi. Whereas once, if the dominoes are down, you take a look at domino number two, and domino number one is lying on top of it. And you can see that there was a transfer of energy from domino number one, which is down now, to domino number two, which knocked it down. That's a forensic proof that there's a relationship with the potential which is contained in domino number one and the final result of domino number two with it being knocked down. Is it direct? No, it's makif. Because the potential doesn't hit the second domino. The actual hits the second domino. What happened to the potential? It's makif, it doesn't affect it. Okay, not, so we get, there's another word you get out of your lexicon. Makif doesn't mean surround. Makif means it's not megala. It doesn't come into revelation. You can't directly relate to it. And there's obviously going to be many levels of makif. And that's where we're going to stop. We're on page 258 at the top. First word, the top page number is 258. We're just above the halfway point. The line starts, Meha'ilu ubatal metzias etzel keziva shemesh b'shemesh kol shekol v'partis maharamak. And we're starting again next time from Afgam Tzimtzum Rabin. To be continued.